Serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes. We'll get back to Richard Hayward's story in a moment, but in listening to him today, I'm struck with some wide-angle lens realities of the kaleidoscope that 13 years worth of weekly visits with World War II veterans have provided. I'm amazed by both the diversity and the commonality. We've heard from veterans from every part of the U.S., every conceivable ethnic group, African American, Asian American, Native American, Latino, you name it, rich, poor, Democrat, Republican, everywhere in between, every branch of the service. And just in the weeks ahead, we'll hear from a 99-year-old dive bomber pilot, a female nurse from the front lines, and a Jewish Purple Heart recipient who lost his parents in the Holocaust but survived to become a pioneering scientist whose invention may just have saved your life. The spectrum of who these veterans are, where they come from, and what drives them today is an incredible mosaic united around that common thread of the American ideal. We may never reach that point where we perfectly model liberty and justice for all the time, but they sure have dedicated their lives to that pursuit. When we've talked to Baseball Hall of Famers here on Hometown Heroes, we've naturally included plenty of memories from the diamond. Likewise for square dance callers or school teachers or Olympians or retired generals. With today's guest, Richard Hayward, it is so clear that his life revolves around his Christian faith. So we're hearing a lot more about God than we normally would. Some of you may love that, others may be less comfortable, but the bottom line for me, with all our guests, is that they have the opportunity to share their true stories as they see them. We've heard about Mr. Hayward's time on the front lines with the 32nd Infantry Division in the Philippines, 2.5 months in the battle for Leyte. He spent a torturous 6 weeks traversing the brutal 20 miles of the Villa Verde Trail in the Battle of Luzon. That fight would see 4 men from his division awarded the Medal of Honor. He told you how his war experience was the crucible from which a call to the ministry materialized, and one of the lasting reflections of his dedication and commitment to that call can still be found today in the Netherlands, where he served as an Air Force chaplain nearly 60 years ago.
The last Sunday of each month, I had to go to The Hague and hold a service for Americans in The Hague and anybody that spoke English, and they had about 100 or so, and they wanted a church. They were meeting in a hospital, and so I said, well, come down to the front after the service, and there was only 10 people came down to the front, and one of them was a bird colonel, and I was a first lieutenant at that time. The bird colonel said, well, you can see, chaplain, there's not enough people here to form a church, just forget the whole thing. I said, I think we better pray about it and see what God wants and not what we want, and I called everybody up that had telephones for English, and I got them to pray for this church, and we found the church that somebody had put up for a whole summertime, and we got that church, and I got the instructions on how to get it up, and we put it up there, and they had a official greeting from the Holland government. They called it one of their treasures, and it's still there today. You can look it up. It's called the American Protestant Church of The Hague. You can see that it's still functioning today. So,
in fact, you went back there for the 50th anniversary,
yeah,
did you
did.
Not?
I did. Yeah. It was great. It was a wonderful, wonderful situation. I had a base over near Albuquerque, New Mexico, top secret base at that time. And
oh, really?
There was 3 or 4 bases there. I got a radio program for them, a half hour, with the latest music and news and some kind of a spiritual message, you know. I did it for them and all the people that were on the bases. So then when I get 93 like I am now, I said, is there anything I can do to help anybody? And I decided that maybe there was. And when I had this little church that I helped was going to be closed, and I got them going again. And one of the ladies there recorded all those sermons, and she had them, and she gave them to me just about 3 or 4 months ago. And everybody told me you couldn't transfer that to the telephones today because of the computers now that they didn't have in those days. So I had to find a guy that would take them and transfer them. And now we've got a program going Monday through Friday every week. New message comes on every Monday. The toll-free number is 855-879-8918. And you can just call that number from any place in the United States and get these sermons.
So people call that number and they hear a sermon that you preached how long ago?
Oh, 20 years ago or so.
Because when you got out of the Air Force,
and
here you told us about being in Germany and the Netherlands, you're in New Mexico, which where people listen to this program.
That was all in the Air Force.
Yeah, and so I'm going through there. You even had some time stationed in your native Michigan in the Air Force.
Oh, yeah.
In Thailand during the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
And then your last duty station was Vandenberg Air Force Base on the California coast, where we have some folks listening today as well.
Yeah.
So then you get out of the Air Force, and you come down here to Coronado.
Yeah.
You do public relations for the YMCA, but someone says, we're going to close this church unless we have someone to preach for a few weeks?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Well, they said, you're out of the Air Force now. You can take over this church for about 2 or 3 years, and we'll find a pastor for it. And so I did. I took over for 2 or 3 years, and the people loved me, and I loved them, and it grew, and we had a wonderful life, you know. Linda Vista Presbyterian Church.
Well, you were supposed to do it for as long as it took them to find a new pastor, but...
Yeah, but they didn't.
How long did you do it?
I did it for 20 years, and then I was 85 when I finally retired.
Well, now I want to go back to World War II with you, but while we're in the current times, so just a few months ago, you find out, hey, your city here, Coronado, is recognizing you as a hero, and they're putting your face on a big old banner that everybody who comes to this tourist attraction of a town and drives over that bridge from San Diego into Coronado, they're all going to see your face up on that banner of the corner of 3rd and J. What did that mean to you?
That was something, a real surprise, and I was really excited about it and happy about it that, you know, I lived long enough to see something happen. The thing that's so horrible right now is that I go to bed at night, and then the next morning I get up, and during the night I've been sleeping and dreaming about some of the other things that I did in my life, and I look in the mirror, and there's that old man looking at me. And it's really funny, because I'm getting so old, you know.
So in your dreams, you're a 20-year-old kid in a foxhole in the Philippines, and then you wake up and you're 93?
Yeah, that's it.
What can you tell me about the men you served with in World War II in that 32nd Infantry Division, so many of whom didn't come home? What were those guys like?
They were just similar to what I was like. They were trying to do their job. They were trying to do a job there to keep our country free and to get away from the Axis and all that thing, you know.
You talked about believing that God would protect you.
Yep.
But when you look back, what would you say was the moment or experience or incident that made you feel the most frightened or scared or wondering if you were going to come home?
Well, that was when that machine gun, as I told you, was on us, all of our foxholes. And they were just picking people off like mad. And that's when we lost all those men. And it looked like everybody's going to get killed. And that was when I gave my life to God. And I said, hey, God, you take over. I'm your man, living, dying, whatever.
Did you have to deal with losing close friends?
Well, of course. I lost two buddies there. The three of us were in the foxhole together, and they got hit, and I got them down to the medics best I could, and the medics did what they could because they were bleeding pretty bad. But we did the best we could for it, and that was it.
We talked about how close you came to being one of those 406,000 Americans who didn't come home.
Yeah, right.
How should those guys be remembered?
For the fact that they put down their life for what they knew we needed.
Were you ready for that? Were you willing to make that ultimate sacrifice?
Absolutely. That's why I was there, wasn't it?
I guess so.
Because I could have been in Texas. I could have just stayed with that sergeant and gone through the whole darn war in Texas.
Yeah. What did it mean to you when Japan surrendered, when all these days, you said 220 days of combat, where you really don't know what that day is going to hold or the next day, to hear that Japan has surrendered and this thing's over. What did that mean to you?
Well, it was great because then I started thinking about what I was going to do in the future. Mm-hmm. And that's when I figured out that I wanted to be a chaplain so that I could be one of the men to help others that needed it.
When you think back on that and you realize what you went through, and you said four times, not you could have been killed, but you probably should have been killed or wounded.
Yeah.
You know how many died. What are you proud of? What did you guys do that we need to remember today? What was the significance of that sacrifice of 400,000 American lives?
We were there to do the job, and we did it. And we were all dedicated to it. We wouldn't be there, would we?
No. And I've seen pictures of you in uniform. Got a lot of medals on that chest.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Bronze Star.
Yeah.
There's a Medal of Military Merit from your time in the Air Force.
Oh, yeah.
But the two that you have most prominent, the two decorations on that uniform that are above all the other medals.
Yeah.
There's a Combat Infantry Badge.
Right.
And there's something above that.
That's the cross.
The Chaplain's Cross.
Chaplain's Cross, sure.
What comes to your mind when you look at those two pins on your uniform?
Well, it's just that I know I remember what I went through and the fact that I became a chaplain and that I had a wonderful life. And my wife and I have had a wonderful, wonderful life.
What would you say you're most proud of?
Well, I was proud because I was working for the Lord to help other people. That's what I did all my life, was help other people. And that's what I did when I had the church. And that's what I had when I was in the chaplaincy. And I was always with people and helping them.
And you use the past tense there, but I don't think you've stopped helping others.
Well, I'm trying to keep helping them, but the only thing I can do now is let the telephones help.
Well, I'm sure that's helping whoever's calling into that number.
Yeah, that's true.
Most of the people listening right now weren't alive during World War II. They didn't live through the Great Depression like you did. They certainly didn't pay for their parents' college by the money they saved up from their paper route. But for those of us who weren't alive during World War II, who don't know what people like you went through, what you accomplished, or how you accomplished it, what is the most important thing that we need to know about that time in our nation's history?
We just have to need to know that we really loved our country and that we were doing it for our country and for everybody else that it influenced.
Well, and I don't want to forget to say something important. I want to say thank you. Thank you for your service to our country. And it's clear that your life has been about service, whether you are wearing a uniform or not. Have you ever thought about what if? I'm just thinking back. Your 20 years as a chaplain, I imagine you touched the lives of countless servicemen who were facing some pretty serious things in their life.
Yeah, that's true.
All over the world in these different duty stations.
That's right.
And then 20 more years as a pastor after that.
Yep, that's right.
How many lives did you touch? Even now, with this phone recording, who knows who else you're reaching? But what if those close calls, at least 14 of them you remember in the Pacific, what if one of those was the one that got you? Have you ever thought about that?
No, because I didn't get it. It's just like some people making up their minds that something bad's going to happen no matter what. Something bad doesn't happen, and then where are they? They're way out in orbit, and they're not doing any good for themselves, that's for sure.
But just from a probability standpoint, you saw it happen to so many other guys. Yet, the bullet hits the tree, not you. The bullet hits your heel, but not your foot. The shell lands by you, but doesn't go off. The grenade lands by you, but doesn't go off. All these things that you survived so all these other things could happen. How do you explain that?
I don't explain it. I just say it happened that way. And that's all there is to it. I was doing what I could do, and that was it. You have the Lord with you. God's with you. God's with you right now. He's going to be with you as long as you live. He's going to be there no matter what. And if you have a problem, take it to the Lord and ask Him to help you. And God will help you. There's no question in my mind that everybody can be helped if they want to be helped.
How long have you and Betty been married now?
66 years.
What's your secret?
We love the Lord our God, and then He's with us. And He takes us and He directs our life and He helps us in our problems and He helped us with whatever we're trying to do, and she's going through some real difficulty now, but we're going together with it. So she's got some cancer, and we just came from the doctors, and they said they can't do anything for her. They can't operate or anything because of the cancer, the kind of cancer she's got. So I pray with her every day and do what we can do to make her comfortable. That's about the best we can do.
You know, that brings to mind a thought, too. With all those years as a chaplain, and I've got a lot of friends that are chaplains, and I know how much they care and the burdens that they carry and the heart that they have for the men and women who they serve. What advice would you have for someone who's in that role now, who's a chaplain in our armed forces today, dealing with these men and women who are risking their lives for our freedom?
Well, the same thing as I did before, and that is be sure and let them know that God is there for them. All they need to do is call on him and say, "Hey, God, help me. I need some help here." And God will help them.
Well, it is impossible to miss how sincere those words are and how strongly he truly believes that. Richard Hayward, 93 years old, of Coronado, California. Those photos are up at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, but we're out of time here on the radio for now. I'm Paul Leffler saying thanks for listening and inviting you to join us again next time when we're reminded once more through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.